Small businesses are at the heart of the U.S. economy. Here at Nurture Small Business Podcast, we're dedicated to seeing our small business owners succeed. I am your host, Denise Kagan, president of DCA Virtual Business Support. If you like what you hear on today's podcast, please share it. You have my gratitude for doing so. Hello and welcome to today's show. It is another solo podcast. This is Denise's Opinions. It is not legal advice, HR advice, financial advice, or any other advice that is regulated under law. It is just my opinion. Today's topic, what has remote and work from home work done to our mental health? So let me rewind a little bit and go back in the past. One of the first businesses I owned was a cleaning company, and I recall a very specific conversation with a young lady there that asked my opinion on mental health medications and what she should take. Let me preface this by saying, I'm from the tail end of the baby boomer generation. We were taught to not air our dirty laundry. In fact, it was taboo to even mention or acknowledge that you were taking a medication like Prozac. That admission equated to something is wrong with you. When I was in my late 20s, my physician put me on Prozac to fight fatigue. And yes, I have fatigue for decades. After about 2 months of taking Prozac, though, I declined to take it longer than that. And it was because it really did not help my fatigue, although I did notice a better, more positive outlook. The stigma was so strong back then. Mental health in the workplace has been a hot topic for a few years now, and we still don't completely understand how the pandemic and the switch to remote work from home and hybrid work has impacted businesses and people. There's actually a mixed bag of information out there on both sides that has positive impacts as well as negative impacts. So some of the positives that are being cited as increased flexibility and reduced commuting related stress. And I get that. I know we have a whole team of almost all of them are moms, and they're juggling the childcare and sometimes homeschooling. And so particularly when the pandemic hit, that was really obvious that this time was stressful for them. So having that ability to do these things in the same space where they had to do these other things, such as schooling and childcare for the children, has been very helpful. However, some of the challenges noted are isolation as well as loneliness. And there are individuals who may be more vulnerable to this than others. So, for instance, people who may live by themselves, or those who are not the natural social butterfly and they have limited social interactions. The lack of face-to-face interaction with colleagues can contribute to that sense of disconnectedness. There's also a work-life balance issue that does come up. My company, we know about this firsthand. This is a topic of conversation amongst my team quite frequently. Our leadership actually will encourage our team members when they're going on vacation to not take their computer, not take their devices, disconnect completely, and uninstall apps even when they plan to be away for more than 3 days. And then part of this other is to block time on their calendar to handle predictable work. And this goes to the fact that sometimes employees feel the need to be more productive and feel the need that if they're being summoned, emailed while they're on vacation, and that's unavoidable, but they feel the need to respond. So this is a boundary that leaders can help put in place for their team members and help reinforce by letting them know, hey, yes, you may get emails while you're on vacation. The business doesn't stop. However, you are not responsible for responding to them while you're on vacation. And we encourage you not to even monitor them. So the other thing that was noted very much in towards the end of, I guess, starting in 2022, started at the end of 2021, I started hearing this term Zoom fatigue, okay? And what this is described as is techno stress, where there is actual anxiety and frustration, feelings of overwhelm related to constantly being on technology. And let's face it, the world is switching. We are very much tech reliant. And so that may never go away. And I don't have an answer on how we learn to cope with it, other than, again, going back to those boundaries. And again, this is something that we speak to our team members about, is balancing how many meetings you have in a day. Some of our team members, leaders, actually prefer scheduling all their meetings on one day. That's not my preference. I prefer to have them balanced all out. And then, of course, the home environment can create some distractions as well. For me, that's usually not an issue, though I will say at least one occasion I had my doorbell ring while I was recording a podcast. You can't avoid this. These are things that just happen, okay? And it was perfectly fine. We were able to edit it out, but it would have been okay to leave it in there as well. So there are distractions, switching laundry, dogs barking, kids needing things. Those distractions really exist there. Now, there have been several studies. So this is where a lot of this information is coming from. And I'm going to name just a couple of them. Stanford University did one in 2020, and they cited isolation, feelings of isolation, difficulty concentrating, plus the blurred white life work-life boundaries. They also reported higher levels of stress and anxiety amongst the remote workers. Buffer did a state of remote work in 2021, and that report highlighted that remote workers face challenges related to same things, loneliness, collaboration, and communication difficulties. That one was different, and unplugging from work. So the collaboration and communication difficulties, I can assure you that those things can be worked through by putting some strong processes in place and training your leaders to recognize when written communication is not doing well, and not to worry about, you know, dropping what they're doing and jumping on a quick Zoom call or a Teams call or Google Meet to clarify things. That face-to-face interaction really does improve that communication. So, and we've experienced that. So I know that that one can be worked through. International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health also did a study in 2021, citing the same basic things. Factors such as a lack of social interaction, increased workload, and blurred boundaries were identified. And then Mental Health America, also in 2021, conducted a survey. They cited increased burnout, exhaustion, and feelings of being overwhelmed. So we're going to transition just a little bit and talk about something that I read recently. And that was an article stating that work from home, remote, hybrid has led to an increase in alcohol and substance abuse, which of course is part of the whole mental health package. Now, this doesn't mean that's affecting everybody who's remote or work from home. There are people that are clearly more vulnerable, those with existing, pre-existing substance abuse issues, obviously, are part of that more vulnerable population. Here's some of the contributing factors. There's an increased access to alcohol and substance abuse, assuming that they probably keep it in their homes, and the privacy to do it. There's use it for the coping mechanisms for the increased isolation, stress, and burnout that we've been talking about. There's also a lack of supervision and accountability. So part of when we hire, we talk about that this is a semi-autonomous environment. We are not side by side with you in the next cubicle or next office. We are remote. So yes, there is definitely a lack of direct supervision. And the blurred life work boundaries, you know, when you're not clear of, hey, am I working, or, oh, I'm going to work late, but it's after five, I can have a drink. That inability to disconnect and blurring of those boundaries can also contribute to the substance abuse. So what can you do as an employer? This is probably the most important part of what I'm going to talk about. There are several different things that you can do. First, you need to prioritize mental health, okay? Allow mental health breaks, write it into your policy. allow them on an emergent basis. So while it may not be an emergency, it may be an emergent, urgent situation. There were a lot of words there that just rhymed. If your insurance doesn't have a robust mental health coverage, or if you're not able to provide insurance, health insurance to your team members, consider subscribing to a telehealth platform such as BetterHelp or Talkspace. You can provide this to your team members for less than $300 per month per employee. Okay. If you happen to utilize an HR company, see if they have an EAP. An EAP is an employee assistance program. And if not, you can check out something like LifeWorks or Headspace. While I'm not certain of the pricing on those particular programs, when I did my initial research, it was showing up somewhere between $12 and $40 annually for employees, for employers to utilize an EAP program, employer assistance program. Now, they are limited. I will say this, if you're not familiar with the EAP program, it's not like BetterHelp or Talkspace where they allow your team members to have 4 half-hour visits per month, 2 hours worth of actual counseling time. An EAP program is usually for urgent situations that are coming up that need immediate attention. And they usually allow about 3 visits. At that point, they refer them to another service that can help them on a more ongoing basis. So the EAP is very different than a remote telehealth program. And also that's why the difference in pricing. Though it's still a good thing to have. And then find out what stresses your workforce. There are several ways you can do this. We have done several of these. We've done happiness surveys. We've done listening sessions. And you can bring a consultant in to do a 360 review, which a 360 review, several of our clients do these. And what they do is they come into a company and they speak to a leader's subordinates to see what's stressing them. So this is plays into culture as well, which definitely can impact the mental health of your team. Prioritizing your team's mental health not only shows you care about their well-being, it also allows team members to have a happier and more productive life. And if you think that life problems don't transfer into work problems or work problems don't transfer into life problems, I will share with you honestly, it does. And I have seen this firsthand. The benefits to both the team member and the company are vast. You have improved relationships, better communication, better focus, which can lead to more productivity and increased job satisfaction. So let's do this. Thank you for joining me for today's Nurture Small Business podcast, where the focus is on business growth through technology, leadership, and people strategies. Do you have an idea for a podcast or feedback you'd like to share with me? Send me a note through my website at dcavirtual.com/contact.